From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. In Iraq today, the governor of the volatile Al-Anbar province was kidnapped near the town of Qaim. That's close to the border with Syria, and it's in the same region that U.S. Marines and other forces are in the third day of a big offensive. NPR's Peter Kenyon is with us from Baghdad. And first, Peter, what's the latest on the U.S. military offensive? I understand that there's been a counterattack there.
That's right, Robert. Last night featured an insurgent strike on a Marine position involving two suicide car bombers, rocket-propelled grenades, explosives, and small arms fire. According to the Marines, four Marines were wounded and two insurgents killed. Today, Marine Colonel Bob Chase says things have quieted down somewhat. As he puts it, the enemy has gone to ground, either in the hills near the Syrian border or moving into some of the few cities and towns in the region. The U.S. ground forces have crossed the Euphrates and moved into the desert area north of the river. Aircraft, of course, have been operating on both sides of the river. It's been largely an air operation today, according to the Marines, with ground forces mostly repositioning, seeking out new tips on where the insurgents may be. The military says it's holding 18 to 20 suspects at any one time. They're bringing people in, vetting them, and releasing those with no connection to the insurgents. Now, all of these facts and figures, I should note, cannot be independently confirmed. There's no new word on Iraqi casualties. The Marines are holding to their estimate yesterday of 75 to 100 killed. I did talk with one prominent Sunni Arab here in Baghdad today. He spoke of getting frantic phone calls from villagers in the border region, people panicked by the military action and worrying that they were becoming another Fallujah, the Sunni city where fierce battles have been fought in the past.
Peter, you've been out to the border, I gather a bit south of where these current clashes are going on, but what's the border with Syria like?
Well, it is a very long and very remote part of the desert. I can't tell you about Qaim itself or these towns on the Euphrates, but south of there, it's just extremely remote. There's very few people around except for smugglers, the occasional border patrol, but very little law enforcement there, if any. And the U.S. military says it spent almost no time there between the spring of 2003 and this offensive. So this is a real change there, and it will be interesting to see how this plays out.
I'm assuming that the U.S. military does not follow a policy of hot pursuit and would not go across the Syrian border if people were to slip back. It claims people are coming in from Syria. Do I have that about right, or do the Marines claim to do anything across the border in Syria?
They do not, Robert. They talk only about operations inside Iraq, and they talk about following, pursuing insurgents into the hills near the border or into towns on the Iraqi side, but they are not talking at all about operations in Syria itself.
Now, the kidnapping of the governor of Al-Anbar province, is that related to the fighting that's going on?
It may well be. This governor's only been in office a few days, and one version of the story of his abduction has his kidnappers saying that he will be held until the U.S. forces withdraw from the region. The U.S. military promptly rejected that demand, saying no concessions to threats of terror. And, of course, this isn't an easy province to govern. The previous governor was ousted by tribal leaders, having survived a roadside bombing. This governor served in that position under Saddam Hussein, but still hasn't prevented him from being abducted.
In other kidnappings, any other developments?
Well, the leader of the Australian Muslim community is coming to Iraq, hoping for the release of a kidnapped contractor. A deadline for Australia to begin withdrawing troops passed yesterday. Australia rejected the demand, and there's been no word on Douglas Wood's fate. And Japan says it won't alter its troop deployment after the kidnapping of one of its citizens.
Other news from Baghdad?
Two more car bombs today in the Iraqi capital, again striking during the busy morning traffic. Seven people killed, more than 20 wounded, according to police. And Iraqi lawmakers selected a committee to begin drafting the new constitution. This is really the biggest task facing them. This is a huge document due in August. And if the formation of the government's anything to go by, they have a huge struggle ahead of them.
It's NPR's Peter Kenyon speaking to us from Baghdad. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome, Robert.